Okay, we start here at the top of Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the machloket that we discussed yesterday, which is what was the shape of the lechem apanim? Were they shaped flat with edges up, or were they shaped like the base of a boat? They somehow came to a point and they were rounded. The Gemara now asks, Meitvei, kamin kaveret hayala b'tanur, v'doma kamin tavla mirubat, that in the oven, in order to bake the lechem apanim, they had this kaveret. A kaveret is used both for a basket and also for a beehive. But over here, the meaning is going to be similar in the sense that if a kaveret, if it really meant a basket or a beehive, they're usually round. We see that the Gemara says over here that it was kamin tavla mirubat. It was actually squared off. So the kaveret over here must be referencing the holes that are in the kaveret, that it was able to be baked through and through because there were holes in the kaveret. So that kamin kaveret, v'doma kamin tavla merubat, merubat indicates that the lechem apanim were square. So ema upiha doma kamin tavla merubat. Not that the entire kaveret was squared out, but rather the top was squared out so they could lift out the lechem apanim easily, that they wouldn't have to fight to get it out, so it was a wide top. But that base was built in a way that it would be machzik, would hold the lechem apanim that was shaped like a spina. There's a bright, like the one who said it was a boat that bobs along the water. There were four boards or stands that were there made out of gold. They were marked. They had holes in them. Mi roshehem atop. Kemin dokranim. Like some points sticking out. Shasumchim b'hem et alechem. On which they rested the lechem. Shudomeh kemin spina rukedet. So again, explicitly here, as previous brayta that we brought sounded like they were square over here, it's explicit that they were kemin spina rukedet. Like it was like a boat floated along the top of the water. The snipim, again, are the sidebars that either sat on the table or on the floor. And they held the kanim that supported the lechem apanim. It's interesting over here, which isn't so clear, which says over here that they were mufutzalim miroshehem. Does mushrehem mean everything above the top of the table? Or does roshehem literally mean at the top, top? Which is either it means the entire snipin, which is what it sounded like until now in the Gemara, that all the kanim were supported along the snipin. The other possibility is on roshehem, all the way at the top, where they had to take off some of the weight, and they wanted to release some of the weight. Bottom lechem apanim, they held those. Those snipin were placed on pegs. The remainder of them, and they held the kanim, but they didn't need these pegs to hold them up at the top. It's the other possibility that's suggested over here. Lechem apanim nifsal b'masaot, or any nifsal b'masaot. It's a question, a similar question that we had to the Gemara in Zvachim. There we asked about kodshim kalim and kodshei kodoshim. When they traveled in the midbar, what happened to the kodesh, and what happened to, in terms of kodshei kodoshim, as well as kodshim kalim? In terms of kodshei kodoshim, we generally said that it's nifsal when they moved. On the other hand, when it came to kodshim kalim, we said it was not nifsal when they were moving. Now the lechem apanim, which is kodshei kodashim, is eaten within the claim. What's the din? Lechabarim nifsal masot or nifsal masot. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, of Machok. But Achadam are nifsal, Achadam are no nifsal. Mando are nifsal. The one who says that it does become pasul when they travel. Dichtiv kasher yachanu keni sow. So just the way they encamped was the way that they traveled. Ma bechini ato nifsal biyotzei. Just like when they are encamped, if it leaves the claim, it's problematic. It's pasul biyotzei. Apin siyato nifsal biyotzei. So do when they traveled, because of the claim are disappearing here, they're being dismantled. Pasul biyotzei. So mandam are inu nifsal, the one who says that they're okay when they traveled, they remained okay. Dichtiv belechem hatamid alaviye, says that the lechem hatamid will always be on the shulchan and it'll be fine. Vidach nami aktiv kashu yachanu kenisau. What is the one who says that it inu nifsal because it's on the shulchan, and when it's on the shulchan, lechem hatamid alaviye will always be there? So he, how does he learn the pasuk? Kashu yachanu kenisau. Lidach kisa. Learns the opposite way around. Ma bechaniyato kilo yatzam mimkomo lo nifsal. Just like when they are encamped, if the lechem apanim is on the shulchan, it doesn't become pasul. So do when they traveled. As long as it doesn't leave its location, lo mifsal. And according to the one who says it is pasul and bases that on kasher yachanu kenisau, what does he do with the pasul for lechem atamid alaviyeh? Ella kiata Rav Dimi. So that presents a real issue. Now when Rav Dimi comes, amar b'misudar dekuli amalo plige. Everybody agrees that when it's on the shulchan, it's not problematic. As long as the lechem apanim remains on the shulchan, it doesn't have a problem of pasul yotze. It doesn't have any other psul associated. The shulchan is able to be shomer al lechem apanim. The problem arises al kepligei misulak. They were already removed from the shulchan, meaning that it was Shabbat. They had taken off the lechem from the shulchan, and now the kohanim are eating that lechem.
And the masak started.
the excellence of the Shita Mekubetzet that asks your question. Tosfos actually asked the question later on, but here the Shita Mekubetzet asks the question. Okay, give me the scenario where this happened, because they can't travel, they don't travel on Shabbat. So when are they traveling? So we'll see in a second later on in the Gemara that they couldn't travel at night. That's a conclusion that Abaye makes, that they could leave at night. Now, Kodshim, we know, are always, when you have Kodshim, Kodshim, it's Yom Valayla. That means the Lechem HaPanim is allowed to be eaten on Shabbat when it's removed, plus the night afterwards, Motzei Shabbat. So the travel could have begun on Motzei Shabbat. That's when they could have traveled out. Kelim were a piece, but they took apart the Klayim, they took apart the whole Mishkan. Covered but intact. Mandomar Nifsal. When it says Pasul de Tivajer Yachanu Keniso, Mabakaniato Nifsal Biotse. If it's outside the Klayim, then it's problematic of Nisiyato Mifsal, because here they broke down the Klayim. The Mandomar Nifsal, the one who says it's not Nifsal, Dechtiv, Nasa O Moed. So this is a limud that we saw in the Gemara and Zvachim. Afubish Nasa O Moedu. That even though it's traveling, it still has a status of Ol Moed. And that's what makes it okay over here. V'idach nami aktiv kashiyachanu keniso. The one who learned that the Ol Moed is still intact even when it's traveling. Doesn't he have the pasuk kashiyachanu keniso? V'idach kis, again, he'll do it in reverse. Mab mechaniyato ki lo mapiklei lo mifsal. Afnisiyato ki lo mapiklei lo mifsal. Just like when you're encamped, if you don't take it out, it's not pasul. Also when you travel, when you don't take it out, it's not pasul. I mean, it's still within the context or the confines of the Ol Moed. V'idach nami aktiv inasa. That the Ol Moed traveled, what is he going to say? That's coming to tell you where the Ol Moed fit in through the marching orders of the Degalim. Where does it fit? How did they travel at that point in time? This week's Parsha. That they have to travel, and it leads up that who goes first, who goes second, when did the Gershuni go in, when does the Bnei Kehat go? Oh, that's line up. So that's telling you where along the line they're going to go. Vidach. Now, the other one has to learn that also. He needs the order for the Degalim to travel. He says, the Pasuk says that the Machane Alevim will be found amongst the other Machanot. I mean, that they will travel in part or parcel with the other Machanot, and that they're split up amongst the Machanot. Says, so here now, at the time that they are siluk masaot, they now have decided they're going to travel, they're breaking down, they're going to go. Kochim nifsalim biyotze. Kochim become pasul, biyotze. No good. Zivim mutzorim mishtachim chutz lemechitzatam. But the zavim mutzorim must remain outside the mechitza. My love, what does it sound like here? Afilu lechem apanim. Sounds like even the lechem apanim are going to be problematic. It says, kochim nifsalim biyotze. So la barmi velechem apanim, excluding the lechem apanim. So that's now, it doesn't make so much sense. Monavsha. If you say that when the omoid is moving, that it remains kadosh, then the kochim should not be nifsal biyotze. Now, if the omoid over here, we're not taking literally talking about masad de galim, and it's not telling us that the omoid is still intact. Afilu lechem apanim nami. The lechem apanim should become pasul, because it has the same requirements as all other kochim. Ela, yada rabin amar. When Rabin came, he explained it this way. Before we had Kiato Rav Dimi. Now we have Rabin coming and giving the explanation to the machlokas this way. Mar amar be misudar, mar amar misulak velo plige. They actually are talking about two different instances, two different cases, and they don't argue. One of them is talking about misulak. It was taken off the shulchan. Once it's taken off the shulchan, then it's become pasul biyotze. On the other hand, when it's still on the shulchan, the other one who said that it wasn't pasul was talking about when it's still on the shulchan, and that's fine. And that everybody agrees to. Amar Abaye, shema minoa yesh siluk masod balayla. From this we conclude that there has to be the ability to leave at night. This was to your question before, Tzvi, that they had to be able to leave at night in order for be this issue to arise. The issue can only arise because they had the lechem upanim, they took it off on Shabbat, and then they left at nighttime, and that's what caused the psul yotze here. Otherwise, how do you have a psul yotze? If you believe that they can't travel at night, or they can't start traveling at night, then the lechem upanim is taken off on Shabbat. They certainly did not travel on Shabbat. And now, we're at night, can't travel at night. Next morning already, that's Yom Balayla for Kochei Kodashim. It's already Pasul Belina. Forget about Pasul Yotze. It's done. The Zman Alechem is done. So Abaye concludes from the fact that there is such a possibility of Pasul Yotze by Lechem Apanim must be that they are allowed to travel at nighttime. Otherwise, it wouldn't work out. Just wait until the morning. Forget about Yotze. Clearly, the problem would not be Yotze. It would be a problem of Belina at the time that you reach the morning. Mar says, Pshita. Obvious. What's the question? It says that they went, they traveled, they and night. Well, day and night means they were traveling at night as well. So, no. They may have been able to continue traveling at night, to Akrei. They didn't start traveling at night, and that's a bias, because the bias Kiddush is here that they could start traveling at night. Kamash Malon, that is the case, that they actually did start traveling at night. Tosfos over here asks the question, how did he ever come to that conclusion? How did he ever come to the conclusion, Abai over here, that there's Siluk Masot Balayla? We're talking about Kochim here, we're talking about Sol Kochim. Let's take a regular day of the week. Lechem Apanim are not mentioned in that Braita that we quoted. All it says is Kochim Nisalim Biyotzeh. So all Kochim have a din of Yom Balayla. Kochim Kodashim at least, have a din of Yom Balayla. So you bring it on that day, and then you can eat that day and that night. So if you brought the korban that day, then that's the yom, and then they would leave at night. The assumption is that they would leave at night. So this is a very basic question. What happens if they brought the kochei kodashim in the morning, and then they started traveling around noontime? So who says that they had to travel at night? You could have kochim nifsalim biyotzei, because they brought the korban in the morning, and around noontime they said, pack it up, we're leaving. And they left during the daytime. So why do you have to come to this conclusion that they must be able to travel at night? So Tosis gives two answers here. One answer that he gives is that they only traveled at the beginning of the day or the beginning of the night. They never left in the middle of the day or the middle of the night. I mean, they traveled for a full day. Nobody starts out in the middle of the day, and that's it. No middle of the day, no middle of the night. Either start beginning of the day, beginning of the night. If you do that, then the only way you have Sul Yotze is if they were able to bring a Korban and Kochei Kodashim that day, then on that night would be the only time that would have been Yotze, because that would reach a new decision point, the beginning of the night, to leave. But that whole day they would not leave. That's one answer Tosfos gives. The second answer he gives is, he said that they had some sort of Misora, this Braita was also addressing the Lechem Apanim. That once you say it's addressing the Lechem Apanim, then for sure they have to leave at night. Because without them being able to leave at night, then it won't work. Because obviously they didn't travel on Shabbat. And therefore you have nighttime, and that would be the only way to conclude or to figure the Braita out, that you have Kochim Nisalim Biyotze. So the two possibilities that Tosfos answers are by his diuk out of the Braita. Either we must be talking about Lechem Apanim, they had some Misora about that. Or that they only traveled at the beginning of the day and the beginning of the night. They didn't depart in the middle of the day or the middle of the night. They only departed at the beginning, and that way you would only can have Sul Yotze either at the beginning of the day or beginning of the night, and that would work out, or the conclusion of Abaye would be that you could travel at night. If it was Mesudar la Shulchan, we had a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi about whether it's Mesudar or not Mesudar, and then eventually we came around to the conclusion of Rav Dimi that we were talking about a case that everybody agrees, and everybody agrees if it's on the Shulchan that it's fine. Not possible Yotze. Now the Psul Yotze only applies once it's already kadosh and ready to be taken off the shulchan. And as long as we're in the weekdays, we're not really worried about it because that's where it belongs on the shulchan. So when it comes to Shabbat and you're supposed to take it off the shulchan, question is, then leaving on the shulchan, does that protect it or not? One possibility is they took it off and then it was protected because even when they were traveling, there was a din of Ol Moed. Or the other possibility is no, they left it on the shulchan and that's what protected it. In the end, the Gemara says that the only way to protect it is to leave it on the shulchan. But why does leaving it on the shulchan protect it? Why weren't they taking it off the shulchan? We know that on Shabbat they didn't travel. That means the Shulchan was stationary on Shabbat. They had no idea they were going to travel. They should have removed it from the Shulchan. Why was it remaining on the Shulchan? Or why wasn't it being eaten then on Shabbat? Why didn't they take it off? So that's where the Shittu Mugetz brings his Gilon on Rashi, and he adds on an additional aspect to the case of Tosfot. It's an amazing case here. He says there's a case where that Shabbos was Yom HaKippurim. Lechem Apanim nechala erev b'motzei Shabbat. V'lo yispiku lo cholotam ad shenasu. V'yesh yisiluk masot b'layla k'demuchach b'amayi. So that's what he says. The case is when Yom HaKippurim falls out on Shabbat, that the chalot are mitchalkot l'erev, not during the daytime, because they can't be eaten during the daytime. So over there, the chiluk lechem apanim is only done at night. So he wanted to suggest that was the scenario over here that created it, that they had kept it on the shulchan, and all of a sudden they started to move. It started to move with them on the shulchan because they were not musulak. And to answer your question, don't they move it every Shabbos? Well, this was this unusual case that it was Yom Kippur that Shabbos, and they had delayed it, even though they should have taken it off necessarily, but that they got delayed somehow and they didn't take it off because they're not mitchalek the Elul Erev. That's his answer about how this scenario played out, that they were still on the Shulchan and that the Lechem Panim remained on the Shulchan. Alright, now the Gemara asks a question. Ver minhu hugulu aparochet, they roll up the parochet, huchu azavim mitzarim likanes l'sham, then the zavim mitzarim, everybody can come in and enter. So now what's the question? The question is from the previous Breita. Previous Breita said that when we move the machanot, that there's psul yotze when it comes to the kochim, but with regards to mitzoraim and zavim, they still mishtalchim chutz l'mechitzatan, they must remain outside the mechitza. So how do you reconcile between these two Breita? One Breita says that mitzoraim and zavim are now free to enter, and the other one says no, they're not free to enter. So Rashi lo kashu ha Rabbi Eliezer HaRabbanon. It's Machloket Tanayim between Rav Elazar and Rabbanon, which we find them by the Korban HaPesach. The Tanya, we have a Braita by Pesach HaBa B'tumah. Pesach HaBa B'tumah is Rov HaTzibur is Tamei Tumah Tamait. Since they're Tamei Tumah Tamait, they're bringing the Korban HaPesach B'tumah. They're not waiting until Pesach Sheni. So now, Rav Elazar Amar, Yechol Dachaku Zavim U'mitzarim V'nichnesu L'Azara B'Pesach HaBa B'tumah. So what happened? The Zavim Mitzarim see everybody Tamei coming into the Azara. They figure, hey, let's join the party. We're Tamei, they're Tamei, let's all go in. Now we know that the dispensation for doing Pesach B'tumah is only for Tumat Mate or Tumah that's not Enu Yotze Migufo. Zavim Mitzarim, which have Tumah that's Yotze Migufan, they are not permitted to come in, they are not permitted to participate in a Pesach B'tumah. Nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar says, if they show up, they'll get Malkot, they'll be in violation of the din that they must be Vishachu Chutz L'Machaneh, they'll be sent out of the Machaneh, Tamul Omar, Vishachu Min HaMachaneh, Kol Tzaruah B'chol Zav B'chol Tumei Nefesh. So that also connects the Shiluach of the Tzaruah, the Zav, and the Tumah Mei together. And therefore, B'shash Tumei Mei Tim Mishtachim, Zavim Mitzarim Mishtachim. When there's a requirement that the Tumei Mei must be outside the Machaneh Shechinah, there's also a requirement that the Mitzoraim and Zavim be outside of the Machaneh Yisrael or Machaneh Leviyah. Ain't Tumei Mei Tim Mishtachim, if the Tumei Mei are not sent out, in Zavim Mitzarim Mishtachim. And the requirement of Zavim Mitzarim breaks down as well. So I'll explain the two Braita. The authors of the Braita that say that the Mitzoraim and the Zavim must remain outside the Machaneh, that's the Rabbanon. Rabbanon believe that there isn't a correlation between the Tumei Meitim, which have a dispensation here to come and do the Pesach B'tumah, and the Zavim and Mitzoraim. The Zavim and Mitzoraim remain in their status of Tumah, remain in the necessity to be outside the Machaneh, and therefore, Zav must remain outside Machaneh Leviyah, Zorah must remain outside of Machaneh Yisrael, and they traveled in that way. That's what Rashi actually points out. They were left behind. They were like the Vahev Vasufa, the ones at the back of the Klal Yisrael, they remained behind Klal Yisrael at that point in time. That's the way the Chachamim believe, that the Tumei Meitim got the dispensation. They were allowed to come in at Pesach B'tumah, but otherwise, there's no dispensation. Even if there's a breakdown somehow of the Machaneh or Machaneh Shechinah, Machaneh Leviyah and Machaneh Yisrael remain intact, and they are required to remain outside. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says, once there's a breakdown of Machaneh Shechinah, the breakdown of Machaneh Shechinah also involves a breakdown of Machaneh Yisrael and Machaneh Leviyah. And therefore, if the Tumei Meitim here no longer have a requirement to be outside of Machaneh Shechinah, because there is no Machaneh Shechinah. So in the Midbar, once there's no Machaneh Shechinah, the Tumei Meitim have no requirement to be outside, that breaks down the barriers of Machaneh Leviyah and Machaneh Yisrael, and therefore the Zavim Mitzrayim can enter at that point in time, and Rabbi Elazar will be the author of the second break that says that they can enter.
No, it is before, we said before, but still some specific.
If you remember in the Gemara in Zvachin, it was only before they dismantled everything. That Venasa Omoed is not when they're traveling. Venasa Omoed, Avapi, Shed Nasu Omoedu, is only once they broke down the claim and the Mizbeach and the Aron are still there. That, when the Kelim are still there, it has a din of Omoed. But once the Kelim go into action and get to move, then it breaks down. So when we learned it in Zvachim, nobody really believes. Tosus made a suggestion like that, but Rashi says no, and then Tosus kind of comes around to that. That nobody suggests when they're actually moving, physically moving, that you can start be eating your kochim, or your kochim are not nifsalim biyotze. The only question is, once you pick up the claim, because Gershon and Mari came and dismantled the outer parts, the actual structure of the building, and the kelim, which were only taken by Kahat later on, because then Gershon and Mari settled first, rebuilt the Mishkan, and then they placed the kelim in them. So the question arose is, once the kelim are gone, once the building structure is gone, and the kelim are still there, what's the din? But once you've already lifted the kelim out, Machaneh Shechinah disappears. The gamay. There is nobody believes that the Machaneh Shechinah is still intact. All right, next Mishnah. Achat shtei alechem v'achat lechem apanim lishatan ve'arichatan b'chutz. You knead them and you place them out on the whatever they need to be placed on in order to bake them. The special pans for the lechem apanim, for the shtei alechem. I'm sure they had some sort of utensil for them as well. Ve'afiyatan bifnim, but they're baked inside the azara. Ve'enan dochot at Shabbat, and they're not doche Shabbat. Yehuda omer kol maseyem bifnim. Rabbi Yehuda says everything was done inside the azara. Shnomer lo lomer v'regil lomar shtei alechem lechem apanim ksherot ba. They're good inside the Azara. They're also good in the Beit Pagi. We saw Beit Pagi earlier in the Gemara. We had a machloket there between Rashi and the Rashi Ktav Yad. Either Beit Pagi meant somewhere on Har HaBayit, otherwise meant all of Yerushalayim. Rashi over here says anywhere in Yerushalayim. So basically, Rabbi Shimon says that you can do everything, including the Afiyah, outside the Azara. Hagufa Kasha. Well, we have an eternal steer in the Mishnah. Amar Lisha Tam Yachitam B'chutz, that they did a Lisha and Aricha outside. Alma. From there it's clear that the dry measurements in the Mikdash were not Nitkadesh. Because you have to measure out the Isaron, You have to measure out the Yisaron for the Mincha. Once you measure out the Yisaron to do the Mincha, then they already need Kaddish, they're putting in a Kli Sharet. So Rashi says, wait, if you did the Lisha and the Aricha, literally in Kli Sharet that are Kadosh, you have Psul Yotze. If you have them outside the Azara, Psul Yotze. Doesn't says no, they're not Kadosh that far. The Kadosh and the Kli Sharet just makes it that it's inappropriate to take them out of Azara. There wouldn't be Psul Yotze, but we just don't do it. It would be something that would be considered bad etiquette to take them out of the Azara once they need Kaddish with Kli Sharet. So what's the conclusion? That the dry measurements were not nitkadesh. Vafiyatan bifnim. But now you're saying what? That they are baked inside. Alma, midat yavesh nitkadesha. The fact that you're baking them inside means that the dry measurements were nitkadesh. That's why you have to bake them inside the azara. So Amar Rabba, iksha adam kasher, shu kasher kebarzel. Someone raised this question, asked this question, who is as strong, as I would hear say maybe even as sharp as metal. And as Tosus points out, this is a Sheva Chul, a Talmid Chachamim. This is not something negative. This is a positive statement about a Talmid Chacham. Because you have the Gemara in Tanit, it's called Talmid Chacham, Shino Kashik, Vazel, Eno Talmid Chacham. You have to be strong. You have to be able to stand your ground. You have to be able to have an opinion about what you're saying. I mean, obviously, a well-based and well-founded opinion. You have to be able to argue your position. So who is this? This is Rav Sheshet asked this question. Gemara says, my Kasha. What do you mean? What type of question is this? Is it a great question? Dilma, Yisroel Nilo Mikadesh, Tanur Mikadesh. It's very simple. You're right. The dry measurements in the Mikdash are not Mikdash. But the tanur, the oven is Mikdash. The oven has a din of being Mikdash. Therefore, once you bake them, they now are Kadosh. So you do the baking inside the Azara because the oven is Mikdash. You do the Aricha, the Lisha outside because the dry measurements are not Mikdash. So what's the question here? V'afiyatan bifnim. Wait a minute. If they're done, the afiyah b'fin, I'm a tanur mikadesh. The conclusion that must be that the tanur is mikadesh. Ve'enan dochot shabbat. Ooh, what do you mean they're not dochot shabbat? If the tanur is mikadesh the lechem apanim, when are you baking these lechem apanim? Well, you're not doing it on Shabbat because it's eino dochot shabbat. So when are you baking the lechem apanim? Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat, and now they're mikadesh in the oven. When are you going to put them on the shulchan? Only on Shabbat. They've now stayed overnight. They're going to be posubalino. So that can't work. If they're nitkadesh in the oven, and you can't be doing them on Shabbos, that means you're doing it on Erev Shabbat. If you're doing it on Erev Shabbat, you have a psulino here. So Rava says now, and that would determine before, the girsa before was Amar Rabba, so many say that it was Amar Rabba, because now the Gemara is amending what we said before, that Amar Rabba, this is the way to read it. So Amar Rabba, iksha adam kasheshu kasheka bezeo, manu rav sheshet, Amar Ravashi, my kushya. So what's the question here? Demo mabi bifnim, b'makom zuzim. So bifnim doesn't mean literally in the Azara, but it means anywhere there are kohanim. Anywhere the kohanim means anywhere in the Mikdash or the kohanim. So it doesn't even mean me bifim. Ravashi brutai. Ravashi's statement is a joke because, or it's unacceptable. Manafshach. Iafia bein and zrizim. Lisharechir and abram bein and zrizim. Why do you need zrizim over here? Because we're afraid that it's going to become chametz. So if the baking process requires kohanim because we need zrizim, then the kneading and the laying out of the chametz or the lechem should also require guarding by zrizim because otherwise it'll become chametz in that process. Vilisharechir. If the kneading process and the laying out process do not require kohanim, then why do you need zrizim in the afiyah? I mean, if there's a chashash chametz over here for the lechem apanim, then the chashash should apply from the moment you put warm water into them till the time that it's baked. You can't have it half the time we're worried about it, half the time we're not worried about it. The chashash chametz runs through the whole thing. Ella, so must be, Ella, the Ravashi brutei. Ravashi, this is an unacceptable explanation. It's a joke. That's not the real explanation. So what is the explanation? Now we have a steer in the Mishnah. And that's what the Rashi says over here. Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. We have two Tanaim in the Mishnah. We cannot reconcile between the Tanaim. And therefore, if you believe that the Afiyah must be done bifnim, then you also believe that it must be Doche Shabbat. If you believe that the Afiyah doesn't have to do bifnim, be done b'chutz, then you can say lo decha Shabbat. So we have two Tanaim here, one talking about the Afiyah, one talking about the Dechiyat Shabbat, and it's not a consistent opinion in the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Avahu Bar Kana, Ushneim Mikra Echad Darshu. When it comes to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and the Mishnah, they both touch in the same Pasuk. The Pasuk is actually found by David HaMelech. This is found right after the Haftorah that we read by Macharat HaChodesh. So when it's Macharat HaChodesh, there Yonatan comes out and tells David that Shaul wants to kill him, don't come back. So David heads out, and he ends up in Nov Ir HaKohanim. When he ends up in Nov Ir HaKohanim, he says, listen, guys, do you have anything to me to eat? I'm starving, I need to eat. Can you please give me something to eat? So then the Kohen answers, Vayana Kohen at David, Vayomer Ein Lechem Chol El Tachat Yadi. I have no non-Kadosh Lechem with me. Ki Im Lechem Kodesh. Yesh, we have holy bread. Im Nishmu Anarim Achmisha. So it says, we only have Lechem Kodesh, we do not have lechem chol. Vayan David el kohen miyom lo ki misha atzura lanu kizmo shoshom betzeti yu klei anarim kodesh hu derech chol. All right, it's all right. It's their chol, even though today it's becoming kadosh in the kli. By ten lo koin and kodesh, they gave him the kodesh. Kilo yasham lechem kim lechem apanim amusarim lifnei Hashem. Lechem apanim that was removed from Hashem was the only thing there. Lasum lechem chol biyom hilakchol, because they replaced the lechem chol biyom hilakchol. Right on the day it's taken, they replace it with the new bread. And so now the Gemara is going to darsh in these psukim. What exactly happened over here? It seems like basically they gave the lechem apanim to David HaMelech to eat, even though David HaMelech was not a kohen. So what happened over here? So that's now they start. V'hu derech chol af ki ayom yikadesh b'kli. So even though it's chol today, but it will become kadosh b'kli. So what happened? So now they're going to Rabbi Yehuda Savar. This is the conversation that took place. B'chol hashkichinu. This happened on a weekday. D'ka afule. They were baking the bread on a weekday. Amar lo derech chol ka afitule. Why are you baking it in a manner that is chol? Af ki ayom yikadesh b'keli. If even if you're going to put it into a kadosh kli today, or meaning that because it becomes kadosh today, if salei b'lino. That's going to be a problem of lino. If you're cooking it on a weekday, or baking it on a weekday, the lechem apanim is only placed on the shulchan on Shabbat. So if you are actually doing it that way, what's going to happen? If so, you're going to end up with a problem of lino, because you're going to be mekadesh it on a weekday, and it's not going on until later on. So what do you see from this? You see from this that there's a requirement to do it bifnim. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you must do it bifnim, and that means it also doches Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon Savar, no. That the situation here was b'Shabbat Ashkechinu. David bumped into them on Shabbat, the Ka'afule, and they were baking it, and it was being doches Shabbat. Aren't you supposed to bake it the day before? Meaning that you're supposed to do it on Erev Shabbat. Midei tanur mekadesh. Is it the tanur that's mekadesh alechem? Shulchanu de mekadesh. It's the shulchan that's mekadesh alechem. Meaning, David is saying to them, in either case, either scenario, David is saying, whatever you did here is not real alechem upon him. Because either if you believe like Rabbi Yehuda, they were baking on a weekday, and then they were going to put it on Shabbat, and they believe the tanur is mekadesh, that means it's going to be possible b'lino. That means that this lechem is wrong. It's not really lechem kodesh, because it won't work. It can't work for lechem apanim, so therefore it's not lechem apanim, and I can eat it. Or, according to Rabbi Shimon, it was the other way around. They were doing this on Shabbat. They were baking on Shabbat b'docha Shabbat, because they thought the tanur is mekadesh. David responds to him, the tanur is not mekadesh, it's the shulchan that's mekadesh. That's the case. You should have baked it yesterday. You're baking on Shabbat. It's not lechem apanim, because you're not allowed to bake it today. It's not mekadesh today. So Gemara says, can you really say that he found them while they were baking the bread? Vaktiv. So we read these psukim. Vayiten lo kohen kodesh. Kilo yasham lechem kim alechem apanim musarim lifnei Hashem. The pasuk says explicitly, they gave him the lechem that was removed from the shulchan. So how can we talk about that? The lechem that they're baking for the shulchan. Talking about the lechem that's being removed from the shulchan. It says explicit in the pasuk. Elamai derechol. So what's the derechol over here? Dekamar lohu. Hachi. This is what he said to them. Dekamar lohu. Hachi kamar lechem. Kim lechem apanim musarim lifnei Hashem. They say to David, listen, we have nothing for you, except for the lechem that's coming off the shulchan. So Melo lo mi bayahai. He says, I don't need to ask about this. They gave the nafik lemimila derecholhu. Once it's removed from the shulchan, it has a heter the kohenim, and there's no longer restriction of mi'ila on the lechem. Because once you have a zman heter the kohenim, there's no din of mi'ila anymore. No din of mi'ila means that David HaMelech can eat it at this point in time. So he says, I don't have a problem mi'ila. I can eat this lechem apanim, no problem. Elafu heich nami ayom ikadesh b'kili. Even if you put them on the lechem apanim here, and it would take them off the shulchan, and there was no head to the kohanim, I could still eat them. Havolei, bring them to me. Telecho mesukanu, because I am in danger. I'm in a situation of hunger and danger. Rashi claims that he had bulmus, which we find in the Masechet Yoma, Yom Kippurim. But second, when you have a bulmus, a sickness, some sort of a hunger ailment. I think it matches up with the word bulimia. I think there's a same word that is this hunger ailment. That there, the Gemara in Yoma says that if you don't eat, the person, you feed them until their light in their eyes comes back. I mean that you don't stop feeding them until you know that for sure that you got them out of this danger. So some sort of danger of hunger that led to death. And David had that. If that's the case, by the way, only David could have eaten from the bread, not his men, because he was the only one that had this bulmus. Whereas in the other scenario, even his men could have eaten from the bread. The case was not that case. The case was where they had taken off the shulchan, right? They had been there for a week. They took it off the shulchan. The kohanim said to him, listen, we can have this bread. He said, I can have that bread because there's no meal anymore. The kohanim can eat it. Now technically, kohanim should only eat it. But that restriction is going to be suspended here because he's hungry. So that'll be suspended. But he says, but I, even in a case, had it not been this case, and even a case where it's still in the shulchan, And I wouldn't have been permitted to eat it. I have a dispensation because I'm a sukkanu. I have this bumus. Right. Other way, it's good for me to eat. Pass it over. Let me eat. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Gemara Kli. So what's machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? They have an argument in Misora. What's the Misora? The Misora is whether the tanur is mikadesh and whether it's doche Shabbat. That's the question here. If the tanur is mikadesh, then by definition it's doche Shabbat, and you would bake the lechem apanim on Shabbat. If you believe the tanur is not mikadesh, then you would bake it on Erev Shabbat, and that's the machlokes between them. Shimon believes that it's not mikadesh, you bake it on Erev Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda believes that it is mikadesh, and if it's doche Shabbat, that's the machlokes between them. Dekanami, I can prove that to you from the Mishnah, because Rabbi Shimon Omer, Olam Harav Ragul Omar. The statement that he says is Ragul Omar. Being, this is what you should always say. Well, saying something is because he has a mesora to say this, which is Shkei Lechem Lechem Banim Shirot Vazarak Shirot Abed Pagi Shvamina. Doesn't matter whether they're Azara or Beit Pagi, they're non lo nitkadesh. And that's the answer to your question, Tzvi. Why does he mention the Azara? Because even if they're done in the Tanur, Shibazara, they're not nitkadesh. The answer is that they're not nitkadesh the Gamre. Whenever they must be done prior to Shabbat, they're not Docha Shabbat, because you can do it before Shabbat, only be mekadesh them when they're placed on the Shulchan on Shabbat. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop over here.